I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Juckies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Time now to catch up with our pal Peter LaViolette, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And, Coach, we've been betting on you this morning. All right, two things, and we actually put polls up. Our listeners, 75% believe you don't have a walk-up song ready.
Ooh.
Do you have a walk-up song ready
for
the show?
Oh, that's a no. That's a no.
I don't know. You know, good morning, guys. How you
doing?
Good morning. So, what a great game yesterday. You guys want to talk some hockey?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It was.
So, are the 75% correct or the 25% that believe in you correct, Coach?
Yeah, so I saw that this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you. So, I was good to go all week. No stress, nothing. I'm ready to go. I've got my song. I'm good. And I saw that poll that you guys had going, and so I clicked on it right away, and I said, yes, Coach will be ready with his walk-up song, and I'm good to go. And so I texted my family squad back in Massachusetts, and I said, hey, I got to do this radio show in the morning, and they're looking for an intro song. I said, this is what I'm thinking. And so I put it out there to them, and I mean, I've got a resounding no on my hands.
Oh, no.
And so I'm like, well, Dan, tell me, where do you go? Where do you go? And so they started firing all these songs at me for intro songs. And so now I'm just confused. I was ready. So technically I was ready, but I think I need a minute here. I think I got to pause.
All right. Can you tell us what are the options?
Okay. So I'm not a guy that walks around with earbuds in my ears, listening to music all the time. And so, I'm most of my nieces and nephews are chiming in on the squad, and you know, I got my sisters in there. They're a little more current than me, but so I thought, I'm thinking 15, 20 seconds every time I hear this song come on. I liked Life is a Highway. But they said it's so old, it's so beat up, it's so this, it's so that. And so I've told you I love the country music. I love the way Rascal Flatts did it. It's got a great 10 seconds to it. I got a resounding no. And so now I'm like, no, we can't do that. So I don't think I'm ready this week. So I don't know how you answer the poll with that. I did come back with they had other options for me, but I think I'm still working on it.
So, let me ask you this. Coach, if we actually just played next, didn't even talk about it, and just played Life is a Highway by the Rascals,
I would have been pumped up, but they're telling me that everybody might have turned off the radio just
Can you play it? Can you find it, Valdez?
Coach, we have Charlie Casserly come on the show a lot. Charlie Casserly used to be the GM of the Washington, then Redskins, and the Houston Texans. And he plays a song by the Drifters as his walk-up.
He's talking like the 60s.
You're a lot more current than the Drifters.
So, when I went to the younger crowd on my squad, the Can't Stop Red Hot Chili Peppers, that got a lot of support inside of my family group.
So this is the one that would move you, Coach, if you heard this.
Well, I'm just saying, it just brings you right in. I hear this song on the radio, I turn it up.
All right, well, that's your song then.
It's your walk-up song.
I don't think I can. I mean, I'm not ready to, I can't. This is a, there were some songs in there like, They had Florence in the Machine, The Dog Days Are Over, and I thought that was great for the Caps. But that's not really a good song for a coach because the dog days are never really over, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Lifetime,
well, just, you know, coach. What? Don't overthink it, coach. Don't overthink it. Whatever
and
you like.
It's your song. It's not your nephew's song or your niece's song.
Yeah, but he wants that support.
I know,
he
but
wants
they
to
keep
be...
me current.
Right,
they
yeah, that's true.
Current.
It's a lifeline to currency.
And so I hate to say this. I'm going to say that the 75% of the people.
Hey, Coach, you don't text your family for coaching decisions, do you?
This is the hardest decision I had to make all week.
Really?
I had guys in and out of the lineup. I had to move lines. I had to start a goalie.
True.
This is the toughest decision that gave me the most stress all weekend. But you can see that I'm doing homework on this.
Yeah,
you can
you
see
are.
That I'm trying
He's
to prepare
taking it seriously,
myself
Cakes.
Because this is unless you guys dump me, this is a 3-year commitment.
It's a commitment. Right. You're right. You're correct. Right.
And
right.
So I don't want to put the wrong song in there. So I'm going to ask for another week.
But even, no, I think even it's fair because.
But Coach, even if you pick a song and then after a few weeks you don't like it, you can always pivot. But I know you don't want to keep picking new stuff all the time.
Exactly. Well, that's the point. I don't want
that either.
I don't want it like that. We had a poll today. You know what I mean? You had a poll and you're looking for an answer. And so I can't go changing it in 2 weeks.
Understood.
I'm here.
And here's
I'm
the thing.
It, so.
Coach, we had Alan May. You know, we've had Alan on for years. And he just announced like 3 weeks ago he hated his song. We've been playing it for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you had gone with that, let me hear that intro one more time.
Do it again. Do it again, Valdez. Yeah. Hook up, coach.
Play it again, Valdez.
That's going to be your song next week. I'm just telling you. It's a bob your head song.
I think there's a woo in there, too. You know
there is
what I mean?
A woo.
Yeah, you're right.
TJ Oshie did a couple woos yesterday.
He did.
Two goals. He sure did. He sure did.
All right, hold on. Before we transition to the game, we have another question.
Yeah, we do have another question.
One more.
This one, there's a whopping $1 at stake on this.
It's hard hitting, too.
Give him the background, the reason why we're asking him.
I don't even remember the background.
Because of Deion.
Prime.
Oh, that's right. Deion Sanders, who is now coaching at Jackson State, had some valuables taken from him in the visiting locker room, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And the question came, does Coach LaViolette have his wallet, keys, or cell phone on him when he's coaching from the bench?
Any of the three?
No.
Of course not.
No, of course not. JP, we're
you don't
all
have your
right.
wallet with you at all times?
No,
why would
I think,
he bring his wallet?
No, this is probably.
He's going to buy a hot dog?
Maybe a money clip or something.
I'll probably get clipped at my next road game. Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll be searching for where I'm getting ready for the game.
Right,
but no, I don't carry anything. When I obviously I don't worry about it at home because our people and that's a secure area, and it's never, to be honest, it's never really come up. I think because it was they're spreading us out really good now inside of visiting road rinks, and so the last time one of the last times I was in a road rink, I knew that I had my wallet, my money, my keys, my everything that you just said, and all the other coaches did well. I went and asked them, like, is this room secure? Like, is somebody got this room for that reason? But I've never seen that happen. It hasn't happened. I don't hear any of that happening in the NHL. And security is really good, and the guys watch out for the rooms. They watch out for the players. They watch out for the coaches.
No, I'm
but
sure.
I have never taken any of that on the bench. Ever.
That's amazing because aren't you one of those guys? I think we all are at this point as guys because we don't have purses. Where you, anytime you leave the house, you check your pockets for your wallet, keys, and phone, right?
Isn't no, I do. The- I check them. I check them all, and I have them all going into the rink for sure, 100%. But then, you know, like I'm walking around, your coat's on and off, and you're just busy. I take everything and I unload it onto my desk or into my backpack, and I just kind of leave it there. So.
Right.
I don't want or need that on the bench, and so.
All right. Well, I'm 0-2 so far.
Man, I got to ship Jeff a dollar. That dollar.
I will.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
It's all good.
No,
it's not sorry. You had one winner and one loser.
Yeah. Hey, coach. Can you talk about? I asked you about this last week on Friday about the 12 o'clock start.
Yeah.
And you did assume you were playing at night for that second game on Sunday, and then they bumped you for 4 hours, 5 hours, I guess, because of what happened out in Tahoe.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that? What was the players' reaction?
I think they probably would have rather have gone at nighttime, you know, just because they had played the day before, and so just to get that extra time. That turns around really quick. just from a coaching standpoint, when you don't have the full 24 hours, and from the player standpoint as well, you're planning on one thing and how you're going to, you know, the rest you're going to get, your, you know, how you're going to plan your day up until the game. And so we knew that night when that game was over on Saturday, we knew that the time had changed. You know, the thing that I always say is that when things are equal, there's no advantage or disadvantage to a team. You just have to adjust. And so New Jersey had played at the same time the day before. And so their travel was short. They were in our city, and everybody did the same thing, woke up and played the game at the same time. So it was a bit of an adjustment. We talked about it after the game, after the Saturday game, just to make sure that we were getting ready for the Sunday game at a different time.
Joined by Washington Capitals head coach Peter Laviolette. You had to be thrilled for Craig Anderson getting his first start for the Capitals. He was tabbed to start against the Devils. First start in 347 days for him, and he gets the win. Talk about him and the fact that he admitted he had some butterflies before that start.
Yeah, he was. I thought he played a really good game, especially in the, you know, the shots were, I think they were 7 or 8 to nothing for them in the first 8 or 9 minutes. And then after that, I thought we really got going. I think we outshot him in the period 12 to 10. So after that, we tightened it up. But he made some big saves, especially early on in the first couple minutes. There was a you know, partial 2-on-1 where somebody was point blank in front of the net, made a huge save right there just to leave it deadlocked and to move on. And so I thought he for that time off and just not getting in any games, no exhibition games, really not much going on, I thought he came in and played a really solid game for us. So everybody was happy for him. That was his, I believe it was his 650th game too. And so, you know, for him, he's been around a long time, and he's played a lot of hockey, and he's had an amazing career. It was really nice to get him a win on his 650th game.
And you guys were awesome on the power play yesterday, especially in the third period. Were both Ovi and TJ's goals both power plays? I think they were.
Yeah, they were. So yeah. One was from the slot, and then one was a back. Osh made a, you know, Osh had a nice goal from the slot, and I thought Osh made a really nice play to Ovi on the back door, and Ovi had an empty netter. He's not going to miss that too many times. So yeah. You're right. The power play was big yesterday. I thought that, like I said, after the first 8 or 9 minutes, I thought our guys got their feet going, and I thought we were pretty good for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it just looked like you were just a little sluggish out of the gate. They go up 2-0. Jack Hughes' kid's legit, by the way.
Yeah.
But you guys finally, second period, third period, you guys were the much better team. You had so many scoring opportunities early. I mean, you had so many more shots than Jersey did.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time.
No, I think at one point I looked up on the clock and it was 7 or 8 nothing for them. And
right.
So if you think about that in the concept of the game of, you know, the shots being whatever they were, 40 to 20 roughly. There's a lot of work that we did offensively, and we tightened down pretty good defensively. So, but they are, you know, they had some good chances throughout the game, and that's why I thought Anderson did a terrific job in net, because he had to make big saves along the way in order for, it's not like we had the 3-0 lead or 4-0 lead and he was hanging on to it, you know, by six. We need saves in order to climb back into that game. And so that was why I thought his performance was really good. It takes time to, you know, when you're down, it takes time to jump back into a game.
Did you end up watching the Tahoe games?
I watched, I came home, we put it on, and we watched some of what, the first one we saw, you know, that it got canceled. We watched some of the one last night. I just, every time I had it on or the pictures I seen, I couldn't help but think that the scenery was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
awesome.
I think it was because there was no building around it. You know what I mean? Like, really,
right.
The true sense of an outdoor game, where you really feel like it's just you and the ice and the mountains and the cold air, and it just gave a really great look and a visual from the appearance of it. So I thought it was, you know, in the world that we're living in right now, where we can't have fans and you know, everybody's dying to get the fans back in the building, I thought that was a really good take to bring something that was pretty cool, pretty special, you know, back for hockey.
Hey, Coach, this is an ignorant question, but, you know, we're not used to seeing this kind of thing around here, like guys playing on, you know, ponds or lakes or whatever. Yeah. Is it possible you could ever play an NHL game on a lake or pond like in Canada or Minnesota or something like that? Is that even doable?
I think it is. I don't know how you would go about it with the fans. Like we're going to be past
no fans.
At some point.
Yeah,
I don't know if they'll do that. The fans are such a big part of the game, but under the circumstances that we're in this year, you know, when I first got hired, that picture that I sent of the flags, the American flag and the Capitalist flags out, that was at our lake house, a family lake house in New Hampshire, and that freezes over, and that's in Meredith, New Hampshire. And so Winnipesaukee is one of the lakes that touches Meredith. We're on a different lake called Lake Wonkiwan. But on Winnipesaukee, every year they do have it's huge. I mean, they build so many rinks, and they have hundreds and hundreds of teams come in for a weekend, and they play in these tournaments. And that's
really
truly. I mean, it's a big business. And then one season their lake didn't freeze. Winnipesaukee didn't freeze because it's too big, and ours is a little bit smaller. So they brought it over to our lake, and they built all the rinks right into the lake. And so, like, my nephew has been on a team, and he goes up there, and he's played. He's won his division a couple times. And it's just really cool. Like, you play with your buddies in a controlled environment with referees, pond hockey, you know, the way you did when you were a kid. It's pretty cool. Will they ever get the NHL there? I don't know them. But, man, that would be awesome if they were able to do that. That would be really awesome.
For sure.
Coach, right, don't stress about the song. All right?
Yeah.
If you pull it by next week, it's fine.
Well, JP,
go with "Life Is a Highway."
Yeah, I think we're going to go with that. Yeah,
I will. I don't think we should. I don't think we should. I think we should
really
wait.
Adamant against it.
I mean, maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the one. I think we should wait and let me do my homework. And
okay.
Well, do you want to do this?
My buddy Jason. Just texted me, Coach, and since you're a Massachusetts guy, he said, "What about like the Dropkick Murphys or?"
I'll be honest. I could show you my family put the Dropkick Murphys on there. That's the Bruins song. You know what I mean?
Like, you don't want to do that.
When they're beating hell out of teams up there, they play that song, and I can't do that because it irritates me when I'm coaching against the Bruins and I hear that song. So
I love the
song, and it would have gone back to my New England roots and my Massachusetts roots, but no can do.
What
on
about
that
Sweet
one.
Caroline?
No, I love that song. I love that song. But I mean, can it even get me into the show? I mean, we're going to have to listen to
that. I mean, is that
upbeat?
Sweet
Caroline?
No, it's a long buildup.
It's a big red song.
Coach, here's the homework, Coach.
It's better than the Drifters.
Listen, as long as you guys know that I'm working on this, this shouldn't be rushed. This shouldn't be rushed.
Yeah, don't rush it, but here's the homework. If you think you have one, tell our producers before, and they can surprise us, and we'll unveil it.
What I'm going to do is, because I am going to have one next week, I'm not going to let the fans down, although 75% of them weren't with me, so it's not like I let that many down. But I'm going to get you four or five songs that I like and I approve of, and let's put it out there, three or four. And I'll put it out there, and we'll get some input here.
Okay.
All right.
Feedback.
I like it.
All right, guys.
All right.
Have a good day.
Awesome. Yeah. Have a good week. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Take care.
Coach Peter LaViolette.
Game plan for the Penguins too. Let's put that out there.
Oh, that's right. They play the Penguins
first
twice.
And foremost. Yes, of course.
Twice this week.
Don't you feel like
later we've got Barry's Verluga joining us coming up at 8:40? But I believe EB is going to fill us on FanDuel.
Don't you feel like he would just invite you over for beers?
Yes, I think we should invite ourselves to his New Hampshire lake house this summer.
Yeah.
I think we should do that.
And we could bet on FanDuel while we're up there.
Right.
Sir, probably can't believe Cakes bet on wallet keys or cell phone.
It's a dollar. You think I care about $1?
That's why I tried to get it to 10.
I know.
I tried to juice it.
I wasn't confident.
All right, got to take a break. Like I mentioned, we got Barry's Verluga from the Washington Post at 8:40.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Fan. Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Look, we're all 50 years old. Actually, EB's 51, right?
I'm the old man in this group.
On February 6th.
Old codger.
God, that's brutal.
Jason's on deck next. I always forget, is it Cinco de Mayo or the day before or the day after? It's right around May 5th.
It's May 4th.
May 4th. May 5th. So the day before Cinco de Mayo.
Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, yes. Lucky you.
I should wish Dia a happy birthday. Her birthday was yesterday.
I knew it was around then. She sent me a text about the Six Flags opening up like appointments for vaccinations. And I wished her a happy birthday. I said, I know it's in February. I just don't know when.
Right.
Because I know it was always like close to your birthday. Man, she stepped up big for your 50th, EB. Did you do anything for hers?
You're talking about, sorry, I had to unplug my headphones there for a second.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
She stepped up big for your 50th birthday.
She didn't want any of that.
With that big surprise at MGM National Harbor. I was like, you're going to do anything for her?
No, I mean, I flew her to Atlanta. I mean, she wasn't in town. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, we get our cake from Les Delices. Les Delices. I still don't know how to say it.
And they get a lot of run for a place you don't even know how to pronounce their name.
Yeah. They get so excited, though, when they see me now because the word has gotten back to them. And people come in all the time now. I think last time I got like a cookie. They gave me a cookie.
Oh, they hooked you. Yeah. They took care of you.
Here's an $80 cake and a 45-cent cookie. Thanks for all the pub.
They're very sweet. So, yeah, I got the
sweet,
cake.
Get it?
Got to pick that up today. And then I just got some standard little gifts. Because we bought the Peloton and all that. We spent a ton of money on all that like a month ago. Mm-hmm. We said that was our birthday gifts. But she doesn't like surprise parties. You know, I think you guys are all in the same boat. You guys don't like.
I don't
totally with you, yeah.
I get butt-sized. I loved my surprise party.
Anyway, I was just bringing up that Drab has sent us another article. We're 50, 51 years old about signs you are old. Which I always say, just look in the mirror. That's
just look in the mirror.
Number one
yeah,
sign.
I mean, the list is so long.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they throw in there is overuse of, like, emojis, like the tears emojis and things like that. I don't ever use any of those. Occasionally, I will use the thumbs up. But I've never used, like, the face with the tears and all that sort of stuff.
Guilty as charged.
Like, if you're laughing, if you're crying laughing, you don't use that one?
I'm guilty of that.
No.
I'm an emoji guy.
It's true.
I'm an emoji overuser.
I'm an emoji guy.
My mother uses emojis in every single text she sends.
I don't use them every single time. But
it's in every text.
Hold on. So you're telling me that if you're, like, in your 20s, you're not using emojis?
No.
It's all GIFs and memes?
JP Glancy, the story.
I read it.
What's the story?
Skinny jeans.
What it was is it's an attack on millennials. Like, millennials have spent the last decade, and keep in mind, I'm the world's oldest millennial.
Yes, you are.
Attacking.
You still are in the millennial category?
Yeah, I'm one of the first ones.
All right.
Have always attacked, like, the Gen Xers and the Boomers. And it's nice to see them get S'd on for being old because Gen Z is now calling millennials old. And you know you're old if you're a millennial because you're wearing skinny jeans, which are now out, according to Gen Z.
Oh, okay.
The side part of hair, when you like, you remember the 90s where they like had a bowl cut and it was like split down the middle? I guess that's back in.
Okay.
The middle part.
I just started doing the side part again. The side part
was
out.
That was more 80s.
The side part is out.
The parting down the middle. And
I can't do the middle. I'm doing side. All right, go ahead.
And oldies use the crying emoji, the laughing crying emoji.
Oh, I definitely use that.
Yeah, well, that's how I like you, that. That's you might as well be dead.
That's my go-to.
That's me.
That's one of my go-tos.
I use it a lot.
Crying, laughing emoji. Yeah.
Well, it kind of depends on the text that you sent. If you want to like emphasize that it was kind of a joke, or if you're you really bitter about something, then you drop the emoji.
No, the Gen Z uses the skull emoji for that now.
Oh, okay.
The what?
Skull emoji. Skull, because I'm dead.
I'm dead. Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I wouldn't even get that. Well, I know Cakes is big on the GIFs or whatever, like on
I try
Twitter.
To get obscure GIFs. Okay, you try.
I'm
have
big
to,
on it.
You got to go
and
on.
I see JP
the GIFs
likes
are,
to do it a little bit too.
That not everybody uses.
Right.
That's
so
the key.
I don't do it. I don't do it on social media because I just don't want to be joned on, and I don't know what's popular and what's not. But with my kid, like this weekend, every time that her volleyball team won a game, I would send her like LeVar Ball, you know, like walking, like you know, whatever he's doing, Conor McGregor, whatever
walk.
He's doing. Yeah. So I'll do it with my kids, but I'm not
you won't
really
do
a
it
big...
with me. If you send me a text with that, I'm just going to delete you.
I don't. I do it with my kids.
Right.
Usually, well, though, I lately for Coach Peter LaViolette, I find like a play. So I think I use the TJ Oshie goal. I don't know if that's a true GIF. It's a highlight.
Oh, that's a GIF.
It's a highlight.
It's definitely a GIF / GIF.
Yeah.
Well, but it's a highlight. But Cakes is always going for the zinger.
Correct.
You know.
Why are skinny jeans out? I thought those were hot.
Well, that's skinny jeans are hot in my house now. That's all I got.
That's what's most important to us. For females, I don't think skinny pants are ever going to go out. They're always going to wear tight pants.
Well, it's good because I'm a big fatty.
So I got to go back to my old baggy jeans?
That's good. That's good for us fatties.
Yeah. I'll take it. I got baggy jeans.
We've been squeezing our lard ass into these skinny jeans for the last 5 years here trying to be cool. And thank God it's going the way of the dodo bird. Get some big baggy
pants. By the way, Drabby, there was some skins hitting in my house on Friday.
Really? Oh, really?
But by the dog or something?
By the dog. Yeah. No, it wasn't me. Believe me, it wasn't me. So I got a buddy who came in town who just met a girl on Match.
Yeah.
And he came in. I don't want to say his name.
Yeah.
Pickle, you know him. But he met this girl on Match like February 2nd.
Yeah.
And Friday was what, February 20th or 19th?
Yeah.
And he came over and he stayed in my basement in the same room that Valdez used to sleep in.
Oh, my old bedroom.
Cocktail's old room. Valdez.
Yeah. And he hit the skinnies there?
He absolutely did. He probably did it multiple times.
He mauled it?
And he came upstairs the next morning with all the sheets. So we had to throw, you know, put the sheets in the
After she left?
Washing room machine. She was still here. But
hold on.
It's kind of awkward. It's kind of awkward that...
You got a hotel over there?
Yeah, hold on. Why is he hitting the skins?
I got a brothel in the basement.
What's going on here?
Why is he hitting the skins at your house? Does he not live here?
He lives in Maryland.
So he was just visiting.
Maryland. He's like Nevada.
Well, hold on. I know. He came over to stay the night because we went out to dinner. We had drinks, and then he stayed over. He wasn't going to drive back.
All right, type the name in right now in the Hangout, Jason.
No, I don't want to.
Text me.
It's kind of weird that I knew that, and my daughter's upstairs too. She's sleeping upstairs,
and you knew that he was smashing.
Yes.
And so you went out to dinner with his Tinder date or whatever. I mean, that's bizarre too. Like, he just met her. He didn't, like, you knew her as well as he did.
Wait. Hold on. Is he staying at your house, or was that a one-night thing?
No, he just came over for the night.
And he smashed some girl in your house.
Pummeled
brought up the sheets while she's lying on
the
mattress.
Sheets.
That's a show. With your daughter
That's
there?
Like what JP smashed at Cooley's
house. My daughter
house.
Was upstairs sleeping in her bed.
Yeah. JP didn't bring his sheets to Cooley and say, here you go, you might want to clean it up.
I don't think so. It's kind of weird the thought that you have someone downstairs pounding it.
How did you know he was pounding it that night? Until the next morning?
Well, I couldn't hear it. I'm just using my brain.
Right, you knew what was happening.
I mean, I know it happened.
Yeah, but EB, was I supposed to not? My wife was there. Okay, my wife was there and was friends with Cooley's wife. So am I just not supposed to do that in his house?
It's a little disrespectful.
This felt like we were guests. I mean, I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with it. It's just kind of weird knowing that someone is crushing it in your basement.
Is it someone that I went to high school with, Jason? We went to high school with?
I'm not going to go there.
Hey, but at least JP's smashing his wife, not some floozy he met on Tinder.
On Match. I know. It's crazy.
What are you going to do, man?
What are you doing on some dude's Tinder date?
beat him?
It's kind of hard to explain.
So you were out with the other couple having dinner.
Well, it was a group. It was a group setting.
Ah, okay.
He was hoping it was going to be a throuple.
Yeah. Were you hoping to get in there?
Was she money?
Very cute.
Yeah. In the same age range or much younger?
Yeah. No. So
did you have? Did you pull the closet creeper move?
Yeah, I would have been in the closet.
What is that? What Skippy did back in the day? Well, who did
that? Yes. I'm just asking.
Hey.
I did not. No.
By the way, I just
I stayed a mile away from that room.
Am I right?
Hold on, let me go to the outhang. Yeah, I don't have the outhang up like you guys do. All I see is got a break.
Right before that.
That is correct.
Oh, you nailed it.
But don't say
anything. That dude is always on match.
No,
he nailed it. Every time I see that dude, he's always talking about his match dates. Guy's a slut.
He's getting around.
That's a great pull, JP.
He's single and he's ready to mingle.
That's a great pull.
Thank you.
Every time I see him, he's telling me about his match dates.
Yeah. Hey.
Don't knock it.
You
got to
do what you got to do.
Divorcee, right? Divorcee.
Hell yeah.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, we'll connect Bears Verluga from the Washington Post here on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's our pal Barry Verluga from the Washington Post. What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys. How are you?
So, Barry, saw that you're writing about the Terps. About a month ago, all of us thought not going to be a tournament team, but they've turned it around here of late and are starting to roll.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is that their schedule got easier. I mean, the Big Ten is just brutal. When you're going from Michigan to Ohio State, Iowa, it's the toughest conference in the country, and they were a little bit of a victim to that because they hadn't found themselves at all, and then they're playing all these, you know, I think in the net rankings, the NCAA net rankings, four of the top seven teams in the country are Big Ten teams. So they've found themselves a little bit. They're thin. They're not last year's team. They don't have Anthony Cowan, who started every game in his career there. They don't have Jalen Smith, who was a 10th pick in the draft. They don't have anybody who's going to be the 10th pick in the draft. So it's a team that's kind of had to dig in on defense, have its identity be in half-court defense. Mm-hmm. They're not going to score 80 points tonight. And if Aaron Wiggins is hitting shots, their offense doesn't look that bad. If he's not, then they kind of struggle. But they're back in it. I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that a month ago either, but they're on the bubble and trending in the right direction.
Yeah, you can tell they're taking defense seriously. I mean, basically their walk-on, Reese Mona, is that how you pronounce his name? He's been getting some time. They substitute him in defensively. And I know yesterday he had a couple big plays. He drew a charge. I think he got a rebound and got fouled. And so they're taking every possession defensively very, very seriously.
Yeah, and they have a really great individual defender in Daryl Morsell, and he kind of starts it. But in talking to Mark Turchin last week, I mean, he kind of emphasized that, you know, there's not a – they're playing a 6'7 center, right? So there's no Bruno Fernando, there's no Jalen Smith there to erase mistakes at the rim when someone gets beat. They've got to dig in all five guys and play not only individually good defense, but team defense, and understand when they're switching and why they're switching and or all that stuff that's really basketball-y, because they just don't – this team, I think Turgeon has been criticized for doing less with lots of talent, guys who leave and go to the NBA early. This team is almost the opposite of that, trying to get more out of a little bit less individual talent.
And if they're currently 8-9 in the conference, and they've got three games to play. So if they finish 10-10 in the conference, yeah, I got to think based on just the, like you said, the strength of the Big Ten, they're finishing 7th or 8th in the conference. I would think that they're pretty much in.
Big Ten analysts were saying they're in
and don't have to win a game in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah,
I think you're right, Jason. I mean, the 10-10 in this conference this year is. And they have good wins, too, right? They won at Wisconsin. They beat Purdue. They won at Minnesota.
They beat Illinois, right?
Then Illinois, right. Sorry, I knew there was one I was forgetting. So, and the way they finish up, they have Northwestern, who's struggling. They have Penn State at home, and they need that. That would be avenging their kind of only bad loss, and it's not even that bad, but that – you know, an ugly game. They lost up in State College 55-50. So they need to get that one back. And then they have Michigan State, which is, you know, always difficult, but it's not the normal Tom Izzo standard this year. So there's a path to 10-10. There's even a path to 11-9. And if they're 11-9, it's not a question. I mean, they're in even if they bomb out the first round of the Big Ten tournament. And that's, you know, Terp fans will know, of course, that they have struggled in the Big Ten tournament, you know, and they didn't get a chance to play in it last year when they might have made a little run.
Mm-hmm. I watched a little, not a lot, but I don't know, about a half of the Michigan-Ohio State game. Man, that was a good game.
Everybody was saying, I missed it completely. I mean, that's high-level basketball. And Juwan Howard, like, I mean, he could be National Coach of the Year. Those guys are good. He can coach. Yeah. I missed the game, but people were raving about it.
Yeah. I mean, Hunter Dickinson, the DeMatha kid, who, you know, Notre Dame was really hard on. Maryland was on him for a while, but then they kind of backed off.
They got those twins, that's why.
Because they got the twins who are no longer there. But he is just a difference maker because of how big he is. I mean, he is so much bigger than most of the guys he plays against. And, you know, he can step out and shoot the three. He really got better at that when he was in high school. And, you know, he's not the best athlete in the world, but got good hands, and he's just so big. He's just a difference maker for them.
It's so amazing to think about all the kids. I mean, I know DeMatha goes back a million years, but it just hasn't stopped. It's like relentless in producing players that, you know, I mean, they either stay sometimes, not as much recently, or go elsewhere, and they're just, they're stars. I mean, you know, Victor Oladipo or whatever. I mean, that's not even a very recent example. But just there's so much talent here. It's amazing to see it pop up all over the country. I mean, Matt Garza at Iowa, National Player of the Year contender, you know, played at Murray, right? Like,
right.
That's not even like a, you know, you don't think like, oh, local basketball power Murray. They pop up everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, look at Jeremy Grant for the Pistons. He's turned himself – he might be an all-star. I mean, he's averaged like 25 a game, and he was – I think it was a second-round pick.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, they don't – it's – I used to think the NBA draft was really easy to predict. It was the college stars would be the top picks, and you know, you knew who was going to be good. Now I don't feel that way at all. Some of that is the internationalness of the game and characters you don't know. Some of it is you don't see guys in college for 3 years if they're really good normally or even two. So you don't have an idea of their complete game kind of fully evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But it just happens. You know, the NBA is drafting on ceiling, and sometimes that ceiling isn't projectable when they're 19, and by the time they get to be 24, you're like, holy cow, that's a totally different person.
Hey, I wanted to ask you before we move on to the Nats. What was your take on? I'm sure you've followed it. Jalen Johnson, who was our big time recruit for Duke. He comes in and he plays a few games. He had a great game in his debut. I think he had 17 boards, but then I think he got an injury and he wasn't as good. Let's just call it the last five games before he decided to opt out. He said he wanted to opt out, so he quit. He said he's going to get ready for the NBA draft. Boeheim killed him. Boeheim said the team's better without him. And you don't usually hear college coaches calling out other kids or other programs like that. But what was your take on that whole situation?
Well, I think it was confusing. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily the right thing to point at the kid and say, you quit on your team. Because it's such an unusual environment. First of all, it's an unusual season, right? Like there's COVID kind of covers everything, and there's all sorts of reasons that could be attached to that. The foot injury is another factor. This kid was going to come to Duke for 1 year and prepare himself for the NBA, and if he can't fully do that because he's compromised by the foot, then that's an issue. I do think there's an element of, you know, his minutes were declining, and maybe he didn't want to be exposed. Duke has gone on and won the game since he left. Now, they're not a very good Duke team, but there might be something to what Boeheim was saying in that, you know, maybe they don't need him. I'm caught in the middle on this one because, you know, we're at such a point with college basketball, so many one and dones that and at Duke, you know, that's what they've become. They've become Kentucky. Like what part of the kid's investment is in the team? And what part of the kid's investment is in his own future? I mean, Zion Williamson was going to Duke to become the number one pick in the draft. That's what he became. And they had fun, you know, with a fun team that year. This year it didn't feel that way. So I'm a little bit on the middle of that one.
Barry, last week you retweeted Jeff Passan talking about Fernando Tatis Jr.'s mega deal with the Padres and basically saying the Nats have to be proactive like this with Juan Soto. Do you see that happening? Do you see that huge cash outlay early, especially for Soto, like Tatis got in San Diego?
Well, I think it should be. I mean, here's what I would say. If the Nationals, and we may not know, sometimes we can find this stuff out midstream and sometimes we can't, but they want Juan Soto to be a National for as long as possible. If that's the case, then they should be aggressive and on offense in this so that they can say, look, very early on, we made real overtures that were not, you know, they know what the market is because Tatis is out there at 14 years and $340 million. That's got to be something similar to what Soto would have to get. It is a two-way street. Juan Soto and Scott Boras don't have to, they could say, well, we think that Soto is better than Tatis, and if he gets to free agency in 2025, he's going to do better than 14, you know, by 360 or whatever you offer. But it's on the Nats to make sure they're in the game and that they are – if they don't sign him, it's not their fault. That's what I think their responsibility is because this is a generational guy, and to me – if you're starting a franchise from scratch, I don't know who you pick before him. I mean, you could argue Acuna, you could argue Tatis, but man, I mean, he's putting up some pretty historic numbers. So I'd like to see the Nats get aggressive.
Yeah. Appreciate the time as always. That's Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Barry's a beast, man. When you look at his Twitter feed, he writes about everything. He writes about skiing. He writes about Maryland. He writes about everything. He's awesome.
You can ski out in front of my house right now. The snow's coming down so hard.
Yeah. They're big flurries, though. I think it means it's going to be over quick, right?
I hope so. Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.